welcome into episode 22 of the Calcio Connection podcast, connecting with you, Italian football fans from all over the world. So Bundesliga may actually be ready to resume as early as May 15th. I don't know if that'll have anything to do with whether or not Serie A resumes either later this month or early in June, but probably wouldn't take that as a bad sign either way. Now, the FIGC, the Italian Federation, was supposed to have a meeting, a summit, they called it, this coming Friday to potentially decide the fate of the Serie A campaign. That meeting has been pushed back, at least at the time we taped this on Tuesday. That meeting has been postponed indefinitely. I guess they want to do some more fact-finding before they hold that meeting. So we're still in limbo as to whether or not Calcio returns to resume the 2019-2020 season. But that can never stop the Calcio Connection. I'm Alex Dono, alongside, as always, my co-host Jerry Mancini. Jerry, I saw reports today that Lazio might be ready to sign Ciro Immobile to an extension through 2025 and offer him the captain's armband. I take it with that news, that report, you're doing pretty well. How are you?
I didn't even know that this happened or was rumored to happen today. And when my buddy Joe messaged me on the phone, he gave me a message. You told me, I was jumping for joy. I'm busting. I just blew a nut. Okay. Let's just say I blew my load when I heard that Ciro Immobile was going to stay till 2025 and wear the armband. I've said all year that this guy should be wearing the armband for Lazio. And I've had many people tell me, well, you don't give it to a striker. This is an exception. Ciro Immobile has found his form. He's found his home. This is where he wants to be. He strives to be the best. He loves the opportunity, and he has relished it this season with 27 goals, which leads the top five European leagues. So for me, he deserves it, and this is someone where Lazio has to build around and has to go forward. And it seems I feel like there's a new Claudio Lotito here, because Luis Alberto extending his contract, Sergei Milinkovic-Savic getting a pay increase, Ciro Immobile, we just mentioned, that's getting signed. This could be a start where, if they do win a Scudetto, knock on wood, and they do qualify for Champions League, maybe things are starting to turn around, and Lotito is starting to see that now is the time in an economical crisis, we can say, or whatever you want to look at it, is that his team is kind of financially fine right now, and now all of a sudden he's saying this may be the opportunity, the best time I can ever win a few championships or something. Maybe we should start creating something now, because this is a new era for Serie A.
You know, I got to tell you, normally I don't like the idea of using the captain's armband as part of a contract negotiation, which, according to those reports, it sound like may be happening here, because I get flashbacks to Mauro Icardi, you know, him giving the armband at Inter. But Ciro Immobile is just so different from Icardi, and he really seems to live and die for that badge and for that shirt in a way that, you know, Icardi just, you know, I know he claims he loves Inter more than anything, but that guy's all about himself at the end of the day. So I think I can make an exception in this case. Let's introduce our special guest. We'll talk a lot more Lazio here, as I've been looking forward to talking to this guy. Sean McIntosh is on with us. He's the director of ticket sales and service for the Las Vegas Aces, the WNBA squad over in Vegas. So he's joining us from Sin City. He's also the founder of the Las Vegas Laziali supporters group. Sean, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty well, especially after that Cheeto news today. But thank you, fellas, for having me. Been looking forward to this. Jerry, a fellow Laziali, I mean, I know we're going to have some fun.
Well, and I'd love, Sean, your overall take on Immobile, who, of course, absolutely on fire in 2019-2020. He's, you know, pacing the Capocannonieri race. He's at 27 goals, I believe, at this moment. You know, he could easily break 30 and set the new, or maybe even break 36 if the season does resume. I mean, just what do you think are some of the factors behind just his explosion this season?
I mean, there's too many positive things we can say. I mean, why not sign the man till 2045, right? I don't think we can get enough of Cheetah in Lazio. But look, there's a lot of reasons for what's made him successful. I mean, this isn't a breakout season. I mean, he's one of the few strikers to post four or more 20-goal seasons. So this isn't anything new when it comes to Serie A. But, you know, I know there have been times where he struggled in foreign leagues, But, you know, a lot of those struggles were attributed to a lack of faith. I think a lot can be said for the position that Simone Inzaghi is putting him in, not only tactically, but the faith he's continued to show. Chido, I mean, he's reciprocated that faith, obviously, with the type of production that, you know, leads to him being the top goal scorer, not just in Serie A, but as Jerry mentioned, he's outproducing everybody in the top five European leagues.
Jerry, did you like my Immobile Icardi comparison? I mean, they did they were tied for Capo Cannonieri a couple of years ago, so their careers have been very parallel.
No, fuck that loser. Fuck Icardi. Fuck him. I'm gonna rant right now. Never compare Icardi to Immobile. That's like, oh my god. That's like
a couple of gunmen.
Yeah, that's like comparing a Ferrari to a Honda. Whoa. Like, it doesn't work, man. Yeah, Immobile is the Ferrari, and Icardi's the Honda. He ain't gonna make it past the. Oh no, man. Icardi is such, he's just bad news. He's bad for the locker. Okay, here's an example, and I think Sean will agree. This season, when Immobile got subbed off, okay, he got so pissed off. He was ranting down the sideline, and he didn't want to be subbed off. And I forgot which game it was. It was the match before Inter, and I think it was the Parma match, if I'm not mistaken. He got subbed off, and he was all pissed off. Anyways, Inzaghi decides to bench him against Inter. He comes off the bench in the second half. He took it well, okay? He learned from it, and it grew the relationship. In that situation, I bet you any money Icardi makes a stink out of that. The dressing room becomes toxic, and it becomes a friction, and the season goes downhill. And that's the difference between Icardi and Immobile. Immobile sticks up for his players. He sticks up for his teammates. Sorry, he respects his coach's decision. He doesn't overmind them. He may be heated in the moment, but at the end of the day, he is always thinking what's best for his team. And last year, people were saying, "Oh, he's not a top striker. He's not good. He's a choke artist. He can't show up." Well, guess what? In the last four seasons, he has produced more than 20 goals in three of those four seasons. Last year, injuries did hamper him. And yes, okay, fine, he hasn't produced as well for Italy. But again, Italy is a whole different operation. You're not playing with that team every single day. Different style of formation, different players you're playing around. There's so many factors put into place that makes it much harder for him to produce. And yeah, okay, everyone has to achieve in that higher level. But at the end of the day, he's only one player out of 11 that is doing his job. And the other 10 have to help as well. And if all 11 are not on the same board, it's kind of hard to do your part. So for me, I think this is a win for Lazio. And this is a player who keeps on producing and getting better while Icardi is in freaking France playing with farmers.
Well, listen, I can't argue about anything you said about Icardi because I had to suffer through so many of those periods of discord and a lack of harmony. I did, though, guys, see an Icardi report today that made me smile from ear to ear. I just was on my knees praying that this is true. According to
Sport, his wife or Nara?
well, that would be the next best thing here. But this is even better, at least as far as I'm concerned, because according to Sport Media said earlier today, PSG, their sporting director, Leonardo, has actually made contact with Inter in regard to the permanent purchase of Icardi. They may want to pick up that 70 million euro option. And guys, I was singing hallelujah. I was praying to every possible religion out there, hoping this is true, because it just seems way too easy and too good if he could just get sold long-term to PSG and they pick up the option. Now, I'm a little bit worried that there could be more roadblocks there, because if he and Wanda prefer to come back and play in Italy, they might make this a lot more difficult than it has to be. But I'm keeping my fingers crossed that Inter is able to sell him to PSG, because there's two good things there. Number one, you know, you make that 70 million, you make a big profit. And number two, you keep him off of Juventus. So I'm hoping this is true.
70 million, you know, in light of, you know, what's going to be a post-pandemic situation, you know, and who knows what that market looks like. I mean, 70 million is quite a haul. I mean, that's, you know, you take that money and run. Absolutely. Yep. If you're Inter.
Yeah, and it's also, I think it's basically pure profit because I don't think there's anything left to amortize on Icardi's deal. So, yeah, I mean, listen, if Inter had sold him two seasons ago, they might have made north of $100 million. But, of course, his situation has changed. And as you said there very well, Sean, the market has changed as well. Now, since I'm surrounded by Laziali, I wanted to pose a hypothetical to both of you. I'll start with you, Sean McIntosh. Now, you know, I am. This is certainly not my way of saying I am expecting either of these players to be sold, but I do like to ask difficult hypotheticals when I can. Now, both of these guys are just having remarkable seasons with Lazio. But if, you know, let's say financial times are tough after this pandemic and, you know, Lotito decides I need to make a big profit and sell one of these players while I can. Who would you prefer to be sold if one of them has to go? If you have to sell one of these players, who would you part ways with? Sergei Milinkovic-Savic or Luis Alberto?
It's a good question. It's a difficult one. I don't anticipate. So I'll start off by saying I don't anticipate either one of them moving. First and foremost, I'll say, you know, there's obviously a lot of things about Lotito that can rub a lot of people the wrong way. One of his strengths is his power to negotiate and his stubbornness when it comes to the way he values his players. And we've seen the reason for keeping Milinkovic-Savic outside of, you know, the talent that he exhibits is this incredible valuation that Lotito puts on him. So I don't see anybody coming to the table in this new market with the type of money it would take to lose Sergei. But, you know, between those two, I mean, such unique players, two very different players. Alberto putting up just monster numbers, leading the league in assists, really one of our offensive engines. But if I've got to pick one of the two, I'm going to lean a little bit more towards Milinkovic-Savic. And look, this answer can change from day to day. But today, on this day, I'm going to go SMS, quite simply because I think he's more physically gifted. I think he is a type of player that you can plug into different situations. You know, should we need to change our style of play? I think Milinkovic-Savic is a player that you don't see very often in terms of his size, his footwork, his ability to be an offensive threat, which he can be. We're just not seeing him placed in those positions to put up a lot of those fluffy, sexy goal and assist numbers, but he's very capable of doing that. He's just been asked to do a lot more on the defensive side, which I think gets undervalued when you're looking at stats. You know, too many people are looking at statistics versus actually watching the matches. And this isn't to say that Alberto is just a stats man. He does so much. I just think Milinkovic does so many more things around a match that don't get recognized. And I think it's valuable, a little bit more valuable if I had to pick between those two.
Well said. Jerry, what do you think? You have to sell one and keep the other. Who do you sell? Who do you keep between Milinkovic-Savic or Luis Alberto?
Well, I do agree with Sean that I don't see either being sold this summer. Maybe in a couple of seasons, but
I'm just hoping you sell SMS to Inter. I'm just I'm hoping.
Do you have 125 million euros?
I think that's let me open the safe.
I personally love both, but I would choose Luis Alberto. I just think that going back to the game against Brescia when Luis Alberto wasn't in that game, I just saw that Lazio just really struggled to create any flow throughout the game, anything to the game that allowed them to create any chances, and especially in the second half when they were up a man, and they just couldn't get through the midfield. And he does provide a lot of, like, Savic is really good in the box, and his aerial height, he can really make a difference as well. He's really good defensively, but I just feel with Luis Alberto, he's very creative. His first touch is amazing. And that's not to say that Milinkovic-Savic's first touch is no less better. Like, worse, I'm sorry. They're just as good, but I don't know. I feel that Alberto has really developed into this player that we haven't seen since two seasons ago. And we've know his creativity, but I think his defensive side of his game is getting much better, and he's starting to become more of an overall complete player. So I like the fact that when you have someone who can make a difference in the game when it's 0-0 or 1-1, that's the type of player that I prefer in my squad, especially with Luis Alberto. But with Milinkovic Savage, he you can't undermine what he does too. Sean's right on the fact that his defensive side, that's a very key component to his game, especially this year where they've used him offensively less and more defensively. And in when he's defending, his height is really an advantage for Lazio because he can really clear the he can clear the ball out of his end much easier. So there's good and bad, but I think at the end of the day, it all depends how you value them and what angle, like what the manager's approach is to the game. So it's a tough situation to be in. You don't want to sell either because together they complement each other. I think that's the best way to look at it.
Yeah, well said. And kind of on that note, I wanted to ask both of you guys for the Lazio perspective. And this doesn't necessarily mean I'm asking you who the best player is on your squad. Maybe the answer is the same. Maybe it's not. But the one player who maybe affects the squad most if you take him out of the starting 11. Like the taking this player out of the starting 11 would be the biggest detriment. And I say that may not necessarily be who people consider the best player, because I'll tell you, in the case of Inter, I think it's Marcelo Brozovic. Now, I wouldn't necessarily say Brozovic is the best player, wearing black and blue in Milano, but I do think that as far as, you know, how solid he is as a regista, just how much stamina he has, and the guy runs like an absolute mule every single game, and the rhythm that he creates in that midfield is so pivotal, and I've seen what happens to Inter when he's out of the starting 11, and it's usually not for injury because the guy's very solid, but, you know, every now and then he needs a rest, and every now and then he'll have a suspension from compiled yellow cards, and you see the difference when he's not out there on the pitch. So kind of on that note, I mean, Jerry, I'll start with you on this one. You know, the player that if you take him out of Lazio's starting 11 affects the squad the most.
Oh, I was thinking about this actually today. It's funny you asked. And I think Lucas Leiva would be an important player that if you took him out would be detrimental to this club, because he really has a lot of skill and asset that he really brings to this team. And defensively, there are a lot of key challenges he makes that allows Lazio to go on the counterattack. And I feel that a lot of times we don't notice Leiva as much as we should. And he's always helping the defense. He's always the first one back. He really covers Luis Alberto and Sergei Milinkovic-Savic very well, that allows them to play their role much more efficient and effectively. So that's something, and he has done a better job than what Lucas Biglia did in his time with Lazio. So Lucas Leiva has been an upgrade for Lazio, and I just love his intensity, his leadership on the field, the fact that he played with Liverpool, and the experience that he has brought to Lazio, which has been very vital as well. And so every time that he's been out of the lineup, it's been an area of concern, because the ability of how he plays defense and also can join the attack when when he does, it's a timely matter. And so that's something that I really value in this team. So, like, you can always look at a Chirby in the back end. You can always look at Immobile, but I think you have to look at the player that doesn't get enough focus, but what he does without the ball. And that, I think that's the best way to look at it, is Lucas Leiva is really good without the ball, and he's really good at covering his space and making it really harder for players to score and to create any chances. So that's the one player who I would think is the most detrimental, like, if he's not in the lineup.
What do you think, Sean, most essential player in Lazio's starting 11?
I'm going to go with the most obvious one. It's Ciro Immobile for me. He there's a fear when he's in the lineup. So outside of what he does on the pitch, I think he elevates Lazio. I mean, he plays with such a passion. There's an energy when he's on the pitch. And when when you see and look at how often he's in the lineup, there's a reason why he's always in there, because I feel like there is a gap between him and that next guy. And look, he's not just a goal scorer. I mean, obviously we've talked about his goal scoring numbers and they're elite. They're, you know, up there, but the man is top five in the league in assists. And I think that is one of the things that is greatly undervalued, is the way he contributes outside of goals. And look, the man could probably have another 3 to 5 assists on top of that. Like he strikes a fear in opposing defenses, and he puts so much pressure. I mean, the guy is running all the time, does a great job as far as dropping back with his defensive duties. I think there's just an impact outside of his goal scoring that elevates everybody else. There's this energy level when Chito's on the pitch that I think it's pretty contagious for the rest of the squad.
So a couple other things I want to touch on before we get more into Sean's background and a little bit of a deeper dive into Lazio. You guys know I'm always looking for any kind of Sandro Tonali headline I can get, because I think this guy is the next great talent for young Italian midfielders. And it could come down between Juve and Inter, maybe Milan lurking in the shadows trying to get him there. But I think he's going to move from Brescia probably this summer. Sandro Tonali's agent spoke out this week and said that he thinks it's better for Tonali to stay in Italy, can immediately establish himself at a top club, and would be a shame for Serie A to lose him. So that's certainly good news for anyone who supports an Italian club, because I know a team like Barcelona has expressed some interest in him. And I agree with that statement. I think that for a 19-year-old like himself, it would already be a big step to move from Brescia to a big club. But if he were to move from Brescia to a big foreign club, then you're having to adjust to a new country and learn a new language. I think that's a lot for a 19-year-old. So I do think it's probably a wise thing for him in his career to stay in Italy. And that kind of leads me, guys, to another player who is a young player who potentially is being coveted by the other club in Rome, as Roma may be in the market for strikers. Reportedly, they've been in talks with Mino Raiola about potentially moving Justin Kluivert to another club and bringing in Moise Kean from Everton. Now, I didn't watch him a whole lot at Everton. He didn't play a whole lot at Everton. I did watch him more when he was coming on at Juventus a couple of seasons ago at 19 years old. And there's no denying the talent. There's no denying the potential. There's no denying his goal scoring ability. And I think the future could be very bright for him. But I'm wondering if you guys think that with some of the personality questions, like he had some issues with the under 21 Azzurri, and he even as recently as a couple of weeks ago got in a lot of hot water for, being outed for throwing a coronavirus party, which did not go over well with Everton club officials. I mean, Sean, I'll start with you. Do you think that a guy like Moise Kean for a club like Roma, do you think that's a worthwhile gamble to take? Because maybe you could get him at a discount and he's got a bright future, or is it a little bit too risky to get a guy who may potentially cause problems in the dressing room?
Yeah, I think he's a player that's worth the risk. Obviously, his biggest slide is that he's immature. But look, he's a young player. I think he's a tale of something to follow as far as a player like Tonali, maybe stay in Italy where he's a little bit more comfortable. I think wherever he goes, he's got to go into a situation where it's a veteran squad, where he has some leaders around him. I think if you put him into a situation where it's more rebuilding and he's given a lot of the reins, you may set him up for failure. But I think if you put him into a situation, you bring him back to Italy, you've got a lot of solid veterans, you have people that can help him mature. I mean, he's got a ton of talent. We've seen those sparks with some of the time at Juve, with his appearances with the Azzurri. I would take a flyer on him if I can get him at a great deal. I don't see what the big risk is.
Yeah, and you know what? I thought you made a great point when you talked about bringing him back to Italy, and that kind of brings it full circle to the Tonali thing. That, yeah, I mean, Kean has had issues at Everton, but he left Italy at 19 years old to go to a new country, to learn a new language, to play in a new league. I think maybe bringing him back, to the country that, is his country of his birth and more in his comfort zone may really benefit him. What do you think, Jerry?
No, I agree. He's still 19. He still has a lot of maturing to do. I'm sure many players at his age were still maturing and still progressing into that level of understanding what is right and wrong, and I remember at 19 years old, what were we doing at that time, right? We were still partying, going out, and this is a kid. He's still a kid, actually. Yeah, exactly. So for me, he's got a lot of talent, and he has shown to be a really good player with Juventus last season and scored 6 goals for them in the leagues in 13 games. So while it hasn't transitioned that well this year in 22 games, only scoring 1 goal in the league, I still think that he has a lot to offer. Maybe the scenery of Italy is much better for him. Maybe the style of play, whatever it may be, for me, I think change is good for him. And I wouldn't write him off. Not yet. Not at 19. You got...
And he was sold for what? $44 million? Something outrageous. I mean, the pressure that comes from that. Look, not everybody can handle it. And just not the right situation for him.
No, you're right. And I think Everton has a lot of things going on in their office and with ownership and with a new manager now with Ancelotti. And you got just so many things going around, change. And for him, maybe just a fresh start. And maybe a team like Roma is a perfect fit for him behind Dzeko.
No, you're right about that. And if you're looking for that leadership, I think a guy like Dzeko could really take him under his wing, because Dzeko to me seems like, you know, not only is he a really good underappreciated player because he does more than score goals, I think he's also a really good leader and a good locker room guy. I think that could really help Ken.
No, you're right. And as a Lazio fan, I'm going to be honest. If there's one player who I do respect on Roma, it is Dzeko, because this is a guy who is forced to play a whole fucking season without a good backup.
Yep.
Like, his backup is fucking raunch. Shit. Yeah. He's garbage, okay? I don't even want to say his name for how shit he is.
Kalinic?
Oh, God, man. He's fucking shit. Why, he scored 2 goals against Cagliari. Oh, my God, he's the best thing in the world again. Please. You know what? I have a lot of respect for Dzeko because he's forced to play so many games, and he's a consistent player, and that's a player that I feel that Moise Keane can really learn and especially that he's a number 9, and Keane's a number 9. That is a perfect match between the two that he can really flourish under. So for me, I think a change and someone who has gone through a lot, such as Dzeko, and understands what it's like to play in Italy, would really benefit him.
So, Sean, tell us more about your story, because I think you do a great job as an ambassador for Serie A. You know, I know down here in South Florida it can be very tough. In my area, there are a lot of La Liga fans and Premier League fans, and Serie A is underrepresented. You are the founder of Las Vegas Laziali. I'm curious, how did you start that? Why did you start that? And what's the Serie A support like in Vegas?
So prior to moving out here to Las Vegas, I came out here in 2018. I was actually in Houston, Texas, where I was working in Major League Soccer for the Houston Dynamo for about 4 years. There I founded the Texas Laziali, the Texas Lazio Supporters Club, in about early 2017. We grew that support. We had about 30 or so people that were coming together to watch Lazio matches, a lot of fun. And when I moved out here, you know, wanted to continue that support, have a passion for growing not only Serie A, but certainly the Lazio fandom. And there's not a ton of Serie A support here in Las Vegas. In fact, I think there are only 2 supporter clubs. A good friend of mine with the Atalanta Supporters Club. I know that you guys had Dan on your podcast a few weeks ago. He and I have actually come together to host what was a great match for me. The Coppa Italia final last year. That was a lot of fun. But look, we're a small group here. Been a loyal Lazio supporter. My family is actually from Gaeta, which is in the Lazio region. So I spent most of my life actually growing up in Italy prior to moving to the U.S. when I graduated high school. So I really had no choice as far as my fandom. I just had to continue with the right decision in supporting Lazio. So, you know, it's been a lot of fun. We're looking forward to Calcio returning so that we can get together and we can continue trying to grow the support here.
Now, aside from the news of Ciro Immobile today, where it seems as if he's going to sign until 2025, there was another great announcement earlier this week with Luis Alberto.
Yep.
And he is one of the most important players for Lazio in the past four seasons. And this past weekend, the midfielder revealed on Instagram, "We're negotiating, and I believe I'll renew until 2025. So how important is it that Lazio signed Alberto? And what does this mean for the future moving forward for the club?
Yeah, so critical to a couple areas. First, our identity and maintaining this cohesiveness that I think has been our greatest strength. Right? A lot of times it's the transfers that you don't make that make you successful. And I think that's been the case for Lazio, maintaining our star players. And this is where we'll have to give Lotito tremendous credit, because I think this goes to show our ambition, where we are going to be a club that continues to fight for not only Champions League, but hopefully Scudettos. And I think this is a significant signing, maintaining the likes of Chido, Luis Alberto, and Milinkovic-Savic. I think it helps strengthen our identity as a club that other players now see as a destination versus just a stepping stone.
So something I wanted to ask you on Sergei Milinkovic-Savic, and I know that you, both you and Jerry are not expecting him to leave the club this summer, nor do I. And I think that that's good for a couple of reasons. He's been excellent there. And also with the economy this summer, you probably wouldn't get the best offer. But hypothetically, you think if Lotito gets an offer that just blows his socks off, what do you think that would have to be? Can you put a number on that? Is it 90 million, 100 million plus, 125? What do you think the offer would have to be for Lotito to say, you know what, they've made me the godfather offer. This is an offer I can't refuse.
I think in this market, it's going to be anything north of 100. I just believe that first and foremost, I think Sergei wants to stay. So I think the desires of the player is going to be important. I know a lot of times we forget about that element, but I think Sergei has been a part of this project for 5 years now. You know, he's a lot of sweat, blood, tears that's gone into this battle to qualify for Champions League. So I think part of him wants to see it through and get a taste for Champions League football. And secondly, I just don't know if an offer is going to come in, but I think if we see anything north of 100, I think Lotito's going to have to make that. And I hope he reinvests it. But I think knowing the type of revenue that is potentially going to be lost, I think if somebody comes in with 100, he's going to have to take it.
Now, the best striker this season in Serie A has been Ciro Immobile, who currently leads the league in scoring with 27 goals. And like you said earlier, has been instrumental to Lazio's success this season. Now, what has made Immobile successful under Simone Inzaghi compared to his recent clubs of Borussia Dortmund and Sevilla? And of his 27 goals that he scored this season, which one was your favorite?
So, real simple, and I attribute both of these reasons to Simone Inzaghi. First, it's the tactics that Lazio plays in. They've put Chido in a position to be successful. Second is the opportunity. I mean, you go back to Dortmund and Sevilla, Chido was on a pretty short leash. I want to say at his time at Sevilla, he played like 15 matches, right? And for the investment levels that both of those clubs made in him, that just wasn't enough. And we talked about it earlier with Tonali and Moise Kean. Going into a foreign country, having to learn a new system, a new language, being alone, it takes time to adjust. And we say it all the time about players coming into Serie A, that it's absolutely foolish to judge a player by his first season. I mean, you see it with a player like De Ligt, right? Struggles a little bit in his first season, and it would be absolutely foolish to write him off. And so I don't believe that Chido got the opportunity at both of those clubs. And here, Inzaghi has shown that faith in Chido, has put him in a position to succeed with the style of play. I mean, Chido, as we know, loves to play in shooting lanes. He's playing off the shoulder of defenders. He's part of the buildup. So, I mean, him and Simone are just absolutely a match made in heaven. In terms of my favorite goal this season, it has to be the one against Spal in February. Absolute dynamite goal. I mean, he catches the ball on the counter. I want to say it's just inside the halfway point, and he puts a move on the defender, just absolutely emasculates him with a nutmeg, takes it into the box against none other than former Lazio keeper Berisha, lures him over to the far side, plays a little game with Berisha, gives him a little shimmy, ends up chipping both the keeper and the goal line defender for a goal, in which was one of the most spectacular individual efforts of the season. I'd recommend for every one of your listeners to just YouTube Ciro Immobile goal against Spal if you haven't seen it already.
Well said. And, you know, Sean, you talked a little bit about Inzaghi, who, you know, for my money has been the manager of the year in Serie A this season. It certainly comes down between him and Gasperini. And I just give the slight edge to Inzaghi, given what Lazio has done this season. I know that last summer there was some talk about him potentially leaving the club to go even to a place like Juve. It didn't materialize, and, you know, potentially will be even more sought after now given the success he's had this season. But do you see him staying long term? Because he just fits so well there. Do you think he stays with Lazio long term, or is there a chance he gets lured away this summer?
I do see him staying here long term. First of all, he's already been with the club long term, what, like 20 some odd years. This is a different Lotito, and you know, I feel like I keep repeating myself with the praise for Lotito, which is a little bit odd as a Lazio fan. But honestly, Lotito continues to show faith in Simone Inzaghi. He's been given opportunities. I think we now see the level of investments being made in retaining the top players. So, I mean, Inzaghi is getting exactly what he wants. And now if we can translate that on some new transfers, I don't see any reason for Inzaghi to leave. There's a comfortability. There is more work to be done. Where else is he going to go?
Now, Lucas Leiva arrived from Liverpool with the task of replacing Lucas Biglia, who at the time left Lazio to join AC Milan. So in Leiva's time, how would you rate it? How would you rate Leiva's time with Lazio? And what are your thoughts on the midfielder?
Yeah, I mean, Leiva's an absolute... He's been a game changer for this club. And it's not about his level of play, which, don't get me wrong, has been very strong. He's brought in this sense of just cohesiveness, leadership. I really equate the way that he came in and filled Biglia's shoes, very similarly to what we've seen with Acerbi filling in De Vrij. Look, De Vrij and Biglia, two strong players. And Alex knows now, being an Inter fan with De Vrij, look, he's an incredible. He's one of the top center backs.
Oh, I love him.
Right?
Oh, man. Incredible. I have a bromance with the guy. He's so good.
Look, I mean, he's awesome. Now, when he left in obviously very dramatic terms with Lazio. And so I can't forget that as a fan. But look, during his time here, he was very strong. However, and this is no slight on him or even Abilia, who was very strong, but Leiva and Acerbi have been better. And it's not necessarily that they've been better because of their play, which has been strong. It's just that they both bring this leadership. I mean, Acerbi and Leiva just have brought Lazio to this level where we don't see these blackouts that would happen so frequently with Lazio. We see a team that is so much more calm under pressure, and that comes with Leiva's experience. I mean, the man has played in big, significant matches in Champions League with Liverpool, and so we've seen him bring that experience, which I think has elevated everybody else. So because of that experience and his leadership, I mean, I take Leiva over Biglia every day of the week.
Well, that made it easy for me to ask my second question, because I was going to ask you, who would you choose between Biglia
and Leiva? Yeah, not even an easy. It's easy.
Yeah. And to give Lotito credit, sold Biglia at the right time and made a great profit off him. And Milan's suffering with that bag of shit right now. So
absolutely. And look, I would have.
And you know what? Cheers, because I'm happy to watch Milan suffer. So thank you guys for that.
Yeah, fuck yeah, Milan.
Anytime.
Fucking scumbag, Milan.
Yeah, Sean, we found out. I up until about a week ago, I always thought, because Jerry rags on me so much with Inter, I just always thought Inter was his least favorite club in Serie A. But then we did a Milan episode recently, and I've never heard Jerry curse so much in 60 minutes as he did during that episode. Like, and we came, and Jerry, you even realized that you hate Milan more than you hate Inter, more than you hate Juventus. So I was very
Roma,
shocked by
not
that.
More than Roma, right?
No, fuck Roma, man.
Okay.
There are some Roma fans that are very respectful to me on Twitter, which gives me like a little sentiment to be respectful back to them. And it's nice to see that there's that rivalry, but they also acknowledge that you're just an individual as well, and they don't take it to that next level. So I do appreciate that part. But when the game's on, it's kind of different. No one gives a shit who you are when it's Roma versus Lazio. But after the game is done, it's nice to see that people just know you're still a human being. But yeah, Roma first, Milan second. But it's because of my buddy that I fucking hate Milan.
Inter and Lazio have always had a pretty positive relationship going back for years between the supporters. So, right. Yeah, that makes sense.
I've never really hated Inter. Never had a reason until.
Why do you give me so much shit then, Jerry?
Because I fucking hate Antonio Conte. That's why.
Okay, fair enough.
Fucking hate him. Just being with. Oh, he just rubs me off the wrong way. There's something about him. You know what it is? You know what? I'm not gonna be that basher that says he's shit. He's not. He's won a lot. He has proven that he's one of the best managers in football. I just don't like his attitude. And I don't like how he bitches when he has the best players and he moans and cries. Like, and you don't see that from Inzaghi, where he bitches and cries that he doesn't have a Lukaku. He doesn't have a quality backup striker and quality backup wingman. He uses what he can and he deals with it. And that's what I respect in a manager, is that he doesn't bitch and cry about what he has on the field. He figures out what he needs to do, how to outsmart his opponent, which he's done against Sarri and Conte this season, and against other clubs. And throughout his 4 years with the club, he has just grown to become a better manager, where other managers have always been given the best teams. Conte's always had a good freaking team. Always. And he's always, in his defense, he's made the most out of it. But let's just see what Conte can do with a mediocre team. Can he?
Well, I mean, my thing on and obviously I haven't always defended Conte, because there was a time he was a Juventus manager and I wasn't a huge fan of the guy, but I loved what he did with the Azzurri, and you know, I've watched him over the years, and like, Conte is like a really bright firework. Like, he's going to shine brightly and burn out quickly. Like, there's an expiration date on the guy. I know that. And hopefully, you know, Inter's ownership, Suning and Beppe Marotta, who knows him well from their time at Juventus, hopefully they understand that there's an expiration date on the guy, that you're going to get two, maybe three really good seasons out of him, and then eventually things are going to go south and he's going to lose his mind and you're going to lose your minds and he's going to want to go somewhere else, so you're going to sack him. So you always have to make sure you win the trophies during that window, because there's an expiration date on the guy. But the same way that, you know, I think at this point, Conte, I would take him 10 times out of 10 over Mourinho today, but there's definitely an expiration date on Mourinho. And when he was at Inter, he never reached that, because he left for Real Madrid after just two seasons, right after winning the treble. So maybe it's better that things ended when they did. But no, with Conte, there's an expiration date that obviously that isn't the case for a guy like Inzaghi, who's grown into the job there with Lazio. But let me ask you, Sean, we've asked this from a lot of our guests, as we're still awaiting, you know, the decision whether or not Serie A returns. If Serie A does resume and we finish with, you know, a regular schedule, maybe not like a playoff or something like that, if the season does resume, do you believe Lazio wins the Scudetto?
Look, obviously they've shown that they're in there and they have the capacity to do that. It's such a hard question, because I don't know, nor does anybody know, what these teams are actually going to look like. You know, I look at it as a whole new season. Like, so these players are going to have to come back, and we don't know how much time they're going to have to be fit. Is there a small preseason? Are they going to get to play friendlies? I mean, what type of squad is actually returning? And what made Lazio so special this year was this continuity. I mean, from every person on the pitch, they knew how they were playing. And that takes a little bit of time to develop. So my fear is that all of that momentum, because look, I looked at it as they were a team of destiny. I mean, I looked every which way and I was like, this is our year. I mean, it's the 20th anniversary of our last Scudetto being celebrated in the 120th season of Lazio's franchise in the year 2020, wearing the same kits that they wore 20 years ago when they won. The stars were aligned. I was like, this is it. I don't know what type of cohesive, I don't know what type of a club comes back in terms of style of play. So yeah, I think we could, and I know I'm kind of copping out here. I think they could, but I think the race is going to be who is able to come back and play any semblance of cohesive soccer faster. So between, you know, Lazio, Juve and Inter still there, if we're playing, you know, the rest of the season out, whichever team can come back quicker is the team that's going to win.
Right,
Sean, I want to add one thing that maybe you didn't know, and I read this, and I said this in an earlier episode before we move on, is that Lucas Leiva wanted to go to Brazil with his family.
Yeah,
Claudio Lotito said no, and he has had his whole squad, the whole team is still in Rome. No one has left. No one is quarantined for Lazio.
Right,
they are all going straight to training. Everyone has stuck together, and there is another example of continuity, and. The fact that they all stuck together, stuck by the rules, and didn't sacrifice each other. And, like, they went by what the government had asked, and then they knew what was going to happen had they left and came back for quarantine. So, you know what?
Because there's some positive there, but then are some of our players at a disadvantage because you've got the likes of Higuain and Ronaldo that got to leave? And that literally live in what? Ronaldo's probably living on his own personal island. So he's got all the training facilities in the world where if anybody's coming back fit, it's going to be Ronaldo. So I wonder if because we obeyed the rules and a lot of our players are stuck in, you know, small Italian homes where they don't necessarily have the resources to train, is their level of fitness going to be at a level that, you know, allows them to come back? I wonder.
I don't know. Maybe he was having Popeye's chicken, which we're going to go into now.
Well, yeah, you know, Sean, I had to ask you, and because, like, I don't know what it was, 4 or 5 months ago, there was just hysteria over the Popeye's chicken sandwich, and everyone was out of stock, and the demand was through the roof. I never tried it, and I regret it because there's a Popeye's, like, and I still can have, like, I regret it as if it's gone. Like, I could still try it. There's a Popeye's, like, maybe a 2/3 of a mile from where I live. So maybe I should get it, but I still haven't tried it. And months ago, everyone was comparing it to the Chick-fil-A sandwich. I've had the Chick-fil-A sandwich, you know, more times than I can count. So, but what did you think of the Popeye sandwich? How did that stack up?
It definitely overrated.
Whoa.
100% overrated. So, yes, they are in stock now. Lines are still a little bit crazy, but we elected to wait through a drive-through. Look, it wasn't bad by any means, but you know, the Chick-fil-A sandwich is the standard. And so if you're coming at me telling me that this thing is taking over, I'm expecting a hell of a chicken sandwich. And look, it was a little bit greasier. I definitely felt a lot more unhealthy post eating it, than I do with Chick-fil-A. I had this, I'm a big fan of the spicy chicken sandwich. I think that Popeye's cops out a little bit because versus baking and making the chicken, with the spices to make it a spicy chicken sandwich, they just slapped on some sauce onto the bun and, you know, called it a spicy chicken sandwich. So, but look, it was solid. I would encourage you to try it so that you can stack it up against Chick-fil-A yourself, but I don't think Chick-fil-A has anything to worry about as far as competition.
Popeye's shit, man. I can't eat Popeye. I had it once, man. Oh, fuck.
And their fries.
Oh,
too,
fuck.
So. I can't. Like, the last time I had Popeye's was probably like 4 or 5 years ago, and I think I had the shrimp, which was pretty good, but I can't even remember if I liked the fries or not. It was so long
ago. Yeah, I mean, it's not going to beat the waffle fries to me. And then obviously you've got all your choice of sauces at Chick-fil-A. So stick with Chick-fil-A.
I do have one more Calcio question for you before we get to Jerry's story time. And because I like to ask some of our guests their opinion on this player, because there's always so much talk over Federico Chiesa of Fiorentina. And, you know, Fiorentina, I think, is maybe working on a contract extension for him with the release clause. Don't know if he'll sign it or not. He's been linked over the last couple of years a lot to Juve, a little bit to Inter. I've always said that I don't really see how he fits with Inter in a 3-5-2 under Conte. It puzzles me a little bit, but then I start to read things from the Italian media that apparently Conte really loves the idea of having Chiesa at right wing back. So I say, okay, you know what? If he really thinks he can make the adaptation to right wing back, then he'd be a huge mismatch there. Maybe I like that. But I mean, Sean, my general opinion on Chiesa is I think he's vastly overrated, and you know, I think he gets talked about a lot more with Italian circles because he's a second-generation pro, and because he's Italian, he gets propped up a little bit too much. I don't like his diving in the penalty area. I'm not sold on the guy, especially for a really high price. Like, do you think Chiesa, is he? Do you rate him highly in your mind, or do you think that if a team pays maybe north of 60, 70 million for him, they're paying too much?
I mean, I'm going to echo a lot of what you said. I mean, first of all, he's got to go somewhere where a manager can coach him to stay on his feet, because that's just absolutely ridiculous. You know, I'm going to be a little bit biased when I talk about him, because that is just something that I can't stand from players. You know, Lazio has been on the receiving end of that. But look, he's talented. I believe he's got to be in the right situation. I don't think he's a player that can just go to any club and be a game changer. I think he's got to be in the right situation. And, you know, I'd be interested to see if he could make that transition to playing a right wing back. I don't know if he can, but I do think he's a little bit overrated, especially if we're talking about what he's accomplished so far, because I think he's a little bit more known for his theatrics than anything else. So, I don't know what the going rate is for him, what his transfer would look like, but yeah, I'd probably stay away from him if it's anything north of 30, 40 million.
Yeah. And I think it would be, I mean, unless Fiorentina is just in such dire straits after COVID-19 that they have to have a fire sale, I think that'd be the only way he'd be less than 40 million. But I'll tell you what's not overrated, unlike Chiesa, is story time with Jerry. So Jerry, a word on the street is you wanted to mix it up a little bit with story time. What do you have for us today, sir?
Yeah. So I think a lot of people are probably wondering, why does Jerry say all these stories? Why does he tell people his embarrassing, but slash maybe for some people, funny moments where they can get a laugh during a really hectic time? But my goal is to basically make everyone happy. And for me, I'm gonna be open, because there are a lot of people out there who do get bullied. And for myself, growing up, I was immensely bullied in high school. And I'd have people put notes on my back. I'd have people say rumors that spread around the school. I could even pick up a girl if my life depended on it. Okay. Guys, you have to remember that when you bully people, it's not funny, because at the end of the day, depression, anxiety, everything, it really affects a person. For myself, who didn't grow up with a lot of friends and struggled to create any relationships with anybody in high school, was something that was very tough. And now, looking back in all my embarrassing moments, I'm happy to say these kind of moments, because it allows me to make other people happy. And it's not a guilt trip or anything to make people feel bad for me. I don't want anybody feeling bad for me. I want you to understand that there are other people in this world who do go through this stuff. And like, there's nights where I can't even sleep, because there's things that just run through my mind, and it's hard to have thought process. So, and it just makes you feel different when you have to make decisions and you're scared about how people are going to react, what they're going to say, how they're going to judge you. And the problem is, people don't know that, because growing up, it's like, oh, okay, it doesn't really matter. they think their jokes don't really affect other people, but it does. So for me, that's why I don't mind saying my past. I know they're embarrassing. I don't really care at this point anymore if it were to jeopardize my career in this. This is not a career for me. This is just a it's something that I really enjoy doing. I get to meet so many people. I had Carlos on Sunday, and when he told me he loved the stories, that to me did my job. That in a time where he's in a field that it's really difficult. He's a sports writer, and he is struggling maybe to find some work. And when he needs that smile to pick him up on a Sunday afternoon or a Sunday night, and he's listening to the podcast, and for that 5 minutes he's smiling, that means the world to me, because all of a sudden now I have people who don't think about the bullshit that's happening in this world right now. And it's just like, people are happy. They're and I hate when I see people sad and mad. That's the worst feeling in the world. And I think we live in a world that a lot of people are so greedy and just think about themselves and don't really are concerned about others. So for me, that is my goal. I know that some of my stories are sometimes a little over the edge, and that's why I communicate with Alex when we do say the stories. I do want to respect my wife as well, because I don't want to say stories that could be offending her or anything like that. So I'm very cautious, aside from my mustache story, which she knows about. And
which was the best one, by the way. It was so good.
Oh, the mustache one was so good. And if anybody had a girlfriend with a mustache, fuck, it's the worst thing. Because when you're just about to kiss her and you look at that in your face, you're just like, fuck that. I'm not touching that. But I will, on a brighter note, I will still give a story today. And I didn't really think about one today, but I'll go back to high school when we went midi putting. And as a child, I was the biggest idiot. I just do things without thinking. So for anybody who goes mini putting, Sean, have you gone mini putting before?
Yeah, oh. I have gone. It's been quite some time, but I have gone in the past.
Okay, so think about when you have to take slow putts, and it's like 3 shots per hole. So it's like there's 5 of my buddies and a few girls. Okay, so me and my buddy used to act so stupid, an old friend of mine. So what I did, not even thinking, I decided to whack the ball in the place. It's like just a room, and there's like, you don't really tee off the shot. I teed it off the wall, and I pinged her right between the eyes, and it hit her right in the forehead. Oh, I was like, oh shit, what just happened? But when this happened, it was so funny. I was on the floor dying. Just think about a girl. Just think about you and your buddies and girls, and there was one out of the blue, did you see a girl just get whacked right in the face with a freaking golf ball? It was probably one of the funniest things I encountered when the stupid things I just do in school. But that was such a great moment for me. Like, not a great moment, but it was a funny moment.
Oh man. Well, Jerry, listen, I think we all appreciate the stories, and I'm sorry about what you had to go through when you were younger. And I'm glad that you pulled through everything. And I think that, every tough experience we go through in life is something that we can learn from, and it kind of molds who we are. So I hope, Jerry, it's made you the man you are today, sir.
Oh, absolutely. And I will continue to say embarrassing stories. Wait, as long as they're within fine lines and they don't offend anybody who does listen. So that's my main goal.
Well, we certainly appreciate everyone who tuned in, and make sure, of course, you follow the show on Twitter at CalchoConPod, at CalchoConPod on Twitter. And if you listen and you enjoy, if you could leave us the 5-star rating, which takes like a second to do, to hit 5 stars, it can be a huge help. And of course, we want to thank our special guest today, Sean McIntosh, the founder of the Las Vegas Laziali Supporter Group. He's a great ambassador to Serie A, and he's doing great things with the Las Vegas Aces over there in Sin City. So, Sean, is there anything I may have covered some of it there, but what about social media? Where can people find you? Is there anything else you'd like to promote?
Thank you both, Alex, Jerry. This was a lot of fun. Love listening to you guys. If you want to follow me at Sean_McIntosh, and then give our Las Vegas Laziali a follow as well at LV Laziali on Twitter. All the content, been running a few different fun things on my personal Twitter the past few weeks. We put together our all-time Lazio squad. We did a bracketology, a little bracket to determine the best Lazio kit in history. Got some more fun things out there. So if you want to give me a follow, that'd be a lot of fun. Love talking Calcio.
Excellent. Well, great stuff, man. We really appreciate you taking the time. I've been looking forward to having you on. I think it's been a few weeks we've been talking about it, so I'm glad you were able to make it. And, of course, you can follow Jerry on Twitter at jmancini8. You can follow me at Alex Dono. We'll talk to you guys next time on the Calcio Connection. Ciao.